6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome into the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods, and as always, joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We got a few things to get into today, a handful of topics. We're going to very briefly run through the first round of the NFL draft last night. Obviously, you can go listen to our full breakdown of it on the Joe Gaither Show. We just got done talking with our friend Joey Van Zumeren from the Missouri on SI site, Vanderbilt on SI, Boston College on SI. He does everything. So he was on the ground, boots on the ground in Green Bay, the worst draft location that they've ever had. But he gave us a good report there, so you can go listen to it. Go subscribe to the Joe Gaither Show to get that information there. But we will give you a brief rundown. We're also going to look at a bit of recruiting news. Alabama had a good week last week. You get the fifth commitment in the 2026 class, Kamarian Johnson. This week you had a few more guys who are maybe Alabama is inching a little bit closer to and landing a commitment from. We will get into that though. We're also going to look at the two transfer portal additions. Finally had a bit of movement in the transfer portal. Not maybe what you would have expected. But we will get into that. At the end, we're going to close us down with just a touch of baseball and softball updates. Both teams are going to finish the season strong, and I think both have a chance to host regionals, though the journey there may be a little tough for both of them. Before we get into any of that, though, I want to make sure to remind you all to go follow both Joe and myself on Twitter at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_. Go ahead, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you get your podcast from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, whichever one it is. And Joe, how are we doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Had a lot of fun with you this week on the Joe Gaither Show. Thank you for your help and your time. And really looking forward to the weekend, seeing what we can make out of the last real football weekend of the spring.
Yeah, this is the last little hit that we're going to get until September or August, September, right around there. So we need to soak it all in here. So we'll kick things off then with the NFL draft. Get that out of the way. Like I said, we already talked about it in depth with Joey Van Zumeren on the Joe Gaither Show. So go there if you want to hear our full breakdown and hear more about the event and kind of everything surrounding it. But Tyler Booker shocked us all getting picked to the Cowboys at 12 overall. I did not see that coming. I don't think Joe saw that coming. I don't think really anybody saw that coming. It was it's a great fit. But yeah, very, very that was the biggest shock of the night to me. Obviously, there was a couple trades here and there, but none of those really moved the needle for me. Tyler Booker getting picked 12th overall was shocking.
Yeah, it's like Jerry Jones of the Cowboys brass didn't pay attention to any of the pre-draft noise from the end of the year to yesterday. You know, because at the end of the year, it was Tyler Booker, you're going 10, 11, 15. Yeah. The Bears want you at 10. I wanted him, right? So that would have lined up his number 12 overall pick with his end of the year. And then you get the 3 months of underwear Olympics and reporting and interviews and, oh, no, maybe he's not what we think he is. And so all the experts drop him down their boards, and I was following that, thinking that, yeah, sure, oh, man, he's going to be a late first rounder, an early second. Wow, that really stinks for him. I don't think his play matched up with that. He should be a first rounder. And the Cowboys said, we don't care about none of that noise.
Don't matter. Good on you, Jerry.
Yes.
This was, you know, I said this just a few minutes ago on Joe's show. Like, this is the one of the few times that you've actually been able to take away or leave the first round thinking, man, the Cowboys did a pretty good job tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, so good on them. They felt good that Tyler Booker was their guy, and they went and got Tyler Booker. I love when teams do that, when it's very obvious that, like, hey, this is our guy. We're not moving off this pick. We're taking our guy with the pick that we have. So that's exactly what they did. And then, I mean, we wait and wait and wait and wait, and it looked like, man.
Tampa Bay, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like Tyler Booker is going to be the only first-round draft pick, the guy that none of us expected to even be in the first round. And then here's a trade. The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the number 32 overall pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. What was it, a pick swap, and then the Chiefs picked up an extra something, extra like fourth or something like that, I think. So, you know, not a ton of compensation being sent back and forth, but the compensation player-wise, the Eagles take the what I viewed as the top linebacker in this draft, Jihad Campbell, and he will be a Super Bowl champion within the next 3 years probably. Good on him. How did we let this happen, NFL? 31 other teams let this happen, and I'm furious at them for it.
It's just wild to me. You know, you look through the draft, and he was rated as the top overall linebacker, and he was taken as the top overall linebacker. Yeah. But you're not going to take the first linebacker until the 31st overall pick? Now, what I think we found out last night is Chris Godwin is hurt, real hurt. Is, oh, this became a real hole on the Buccaneers went from, we can take Jihad Campbell to back up Levante David, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get him ready to kind of move into that role. It seems like, oh, man, Chris Godwin's not coming back next year.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is a little old. We need to get this guy a Mekabuka.
Yeah, that's That was surprising to me, but yeah, I guess that is, you know, that does kind of paint an unfortunate picture for Chris Godwin potentially.
But who else passed? I mean, here we are. We're at the
Ravens.
Box.
I thought the Ravens maybe would be picking him. You know, let me see. I've got to get the draft tracker pulled up here so I can look through the order again.
Chargers would have been a good
spot. Yeah, I thought the Chargers would have been. I really thought the Lions would have been a good spot. You know, they had a lot of issues at linebacker last year. They were. Alex Anzalone was injured for most of the year. I think they had Jack Gibbons back there starting some game. Like, you know, that was some a spot they had issues, but they decided to, what I thought was maybe a little bit of a reach. I mean, I saw a few mocks that had this guy going in the first, but Tyreek Williams from Ohio State, you know, sure up the defensive line. I guess you can't really be mad at that. He seems like a knee biter, which is what they're looking for in Detroit. But yeah, plenty of teams that I felt like could have drafted him. The Falcons, I felt like could have maybe been an okay fit. Steelers would have been a decent spot. I don't know. There's plenty of places that Jihad Campbell could have landed. There's a lot of teams that passed up on him, it seems like. And I, you know, I wonder if that shoulder injury was maybe teams were more scared of it than we realized. You know, there was some reports within the last week or so that he maybe wouldn't be available by training camp or maybe not by week one or something even. I don't know. I think when you have a player that has shown as much, you know, incredible tape as he has, is put as much good play on the field as he has, you just, you know, you don't let the noise get to you and you just select him if you're able to. But I don't know. The Eagles obviously felt that they felt comfortable enough going up to get their guy. So they went up and got him, moved up the one pick, and made the rest of the league mad.
I think Jihad Campbell, I don't think it's the shoulder injury. I think it's the position. I think that really, he
just
felt
positional value.
Right. He fell victim to the old, we don't draft running backs in the first round. You know, linebackers aren't valuable. I think that's what he fell victim to mostly. Other than not the injury concern.
Well, he's a regardless of the fall. I mean, I know the money is a little different than had he been picked at that, you know, 19 through like 22 range or whatever we kind of thought maybe, but he's going to a much better situation now than he probably would have been otherwise, almost any other team. So good for you, Jihad. I think, you know, it feels like a really good fit. I think he will be what is he, the eighth player now on the Eagles? I saw our friend Katie Windham's tweet last night.
Eighth Alabama player, but just add the Alabama and Georgia players. I mean, you've got a factory going right now. He's going to play defense with Nolan Smith from Georgia. He's going to be playing defense with – they've got another linebacker from Georgia. Golly, what is it? Lost him in my brain.
That's the lineman.
N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean.
N'Kobe Dean, yeah.
Right. They got Jalen Carter from Georgia. They end up with Eli Ricks from Alabama.
Yes, I've got her tweet. He joins Landon Dickerson, Jalen Hurts, Cameron Latu, Eli Ricks, Devontae Smith, Tyler Steen, and Byron Young on the Eagles. All his former Bama stars. Yeah, good on you. I was very, very excited. You know, we didn't really get into this on your show, but I thought everybody looked nice. You know, all the Bama guys, they came dressed nice. I was a little there was some confusion with Jalen Milroe's outfit in our work group, and then I unfortunately did not notice until it had already been like resolved, and that, you know, somebody did the deep dive on it. But he was wearing the Chrome Hearts tuxedo, the custom, you know, that's what Caleb Williams was rocking a couple years ago when he got drafted.
Great.
So, Tyler Booker was the best look, though. I mean, the brown, like, velvet tux with the white, you know, he looked clean. And then seeing the reaction when he got drafted made me very happy, sprinting through the hallways like a child who just got told they're let out from school early or something. Like, it was just absolute joy from him. So I was very happy to see that. Oh, man. But Jalen Milroe remains on the board for the Tide.
Can I interject with a comment just about Jalen Milroe?
Mm-hmm.
Leave this right here. This is a tweet from Mark Torrance. The people asking why Jalen Milroe went to the draft last night cannot fathom hanging out with your friends.
That's a pretty great point.
And quote, why would somebody want to go have a once in a lifetime experience and hang out with and support their buddies fulfilling their dream?
This is a valid point. This is, I think maybe we, you know, definitely myself looked into it a little bit too much of like, it's not that deep. He is just there to support his buddies. He is just there to have a good time. Like you said, it's a once in a lifetime experience. Decent chance he will never return to Green Bay again unless he has to play a football game there. So, you know, go experience this unique town, this unique city, unique area. And yeah, that makes sense. I can understand it from that standpoint.
I mean, you know who else was there that wasn't going to get drafted? Terrion Arnold from the year prior.
Yeah.
And one more.
I don't know. Did I miss it?
Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson was sitting in the green room.
I didn't see that.
His social was picture. Okay. I'm pretty sure he's in the same recruiting class with Tyler Booker and Jahad Campbell.
Okay. High school teammates, Jahad Campbell and Tyler Booker. I did see that. That was very cool. Seeing a picture of them in high school and then the picture of both of them getting drafted. I love anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, great point. You know, plenty of people there that really they weren't getting drafted and they decided to come support their friends, support their teammates.
I said a small prayer of thanks last night for Shedeur Sanders, because if Shedeur did not exist, I think Jalen would have been getting the Shedeur treatment. Why is he slipping? Raw.
You're probably right.
And because Shedeur does exist, Jalen just got to dap up Tyler Booker and have a huge hug and no pressure. And I mean, other than that, was he really on camera?
No,
that much?
Not much. And every time it showed him, he was typical Jalen Milroe, smiling ear to ear, as happy as he could be to be there, just talking to his buddies, you know, shooting the crap with his friends there. but yes, he does remain on the board. He likely will be drafted today, I would imagine. Hopefully within the top 10 to 15 picks of the second round. I mentioned to our friend Joey Van Zumeren just on the last show with you that I'm potentially looking at the Saints there as the best fit for him, because I would imagine the Browns will be taking Shedeur if they want to go quarterback. So the Saints at pick 40, you know, maybe we see Jalen Milroe in the black and gold and just he can hop on the train and ride it right over to New Orleans here in Tuscaloosa. So I think that'd be an okay fit. You get to sit behind Derek Carr, who I think people underrate a bit. You know, obviously, I know the last few years have been disastrous with him, but he still has been an NFL quarterback for over a decade now. The man knows what he's doing to an extent, and I can't imagine that'd be a bad person to sit behind for a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to go. No matter how you feel about Derek Carr, how you feel about him as a quarterback, oh, he's the best quarterback ever. He's the worst quarterback, mm-hmm. whatever.
He knows the game.
He knows the game, and what we have been exposed to during the course of his career is a person who seems really genuine and really almost humble. I mean, mm-hmm.
I think so.
I think Derek Carr. The point I'm trying to make is I think Derek Carr would be a really good mentor to Jalen Miller. I think he would embrace that role and be like, yeah, man, I'll teach the playbook. This is my process.
I think, of course, too.
I don't know how that ends up, but I think on the outset, Derek Carr would be a good mentor.
I agree. So I do like that landing spot for Milroe. It doesn't force him onto the field immediately. Gives him the opportunity to learn for a while behind, like you said, a guy who probably could be a good mentor to him. But that's probably the only name that we will hear called tonight is Jalen Milroe. I do not think we'll be hearing any Malachi Moores, Q Robinsons, blanking on anybody else even right now. Wow. But
Tim Smith.
Yeah, Tim. I think most of those guys will
James
be
Burnett.
Will be day three gentlemen if they get drafted at all.
Well, here's a quick game. Milroe gets drafted tonight, second or third round. Great. Mm-hmm. Who's the next Bama player selected? Is it James Burnett?
There's a chance.
Is it James Burnett?
I mean, there is a punter, a good punter. Is that valuable?
You're right. Bears took Torrey Taylor in like the fourth round last year. Collect yourself. You're good. But no, Bears took Torrey Taylor in the fourth. Like you're playing with Malachi Moore. You're playing with Tim Smith. You're playing with James Burnup. Mm-hmm. Like who else are you?
Go Tim Smith. I think you know. Tim Smith just feels like a safe, hey, we need a guy that we can just use as a rotational piece, throw him in there for a handful, you know, every other drive or something, he's getting a few snaps. You know, he's not going to be a star, not really going to be probably even a starter, but as a guy who could just be a rotational piece on a defensive line for somebody, I could see maybe a team taking a flyer on Tim Smith on, you know, early fourth round or so.
I got to write that down for a Twitter poll tonight after Jalen gets
drafted.
That's good. Who's the next Bama player to be selected?
Burnup is definitely a possibility.
Like, that's a sneaky choice.
I don't know what team, you know, I'm not up to date on my NFL team's special teams needs.
Packers need a punter.
There we go. So maybe from Australia to Green Bay, that'd be quite the shock, I would imagine. Maybe he'd like it there, though. Who knows? Maybe Burnup's a small-town guy. But that's all I got on the draft. We will obviously see how it develops more this weekend. We will recap it when we have next week's episode next Friday. We'll run through kind of the remaining six rounds of the draft and see what Bama guys go where or if any more Bama guys come off the board. I have to imagine at least some.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, I'm Devin Whitmire. People from South Carolina, like myself, are proud of their state, but even we don't know every nook and cranny or every piece of culture or history. To explore places that are off the beaten path, you have to talk to the people there, because their stories, their ideas, make everything come together. From Discover South Carolina, it's the Palmetto Porch. To learn more, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Let's move off the draft into a little bit of recruiting news. I do have some things to get into here. Obviously, I mentioned earlier, Alabama coming off a week where they added the fifth commitment of the 2026 class from four-star defensive lineman Kamarion Johnson. Was he the kid from Hoover? I think I might be making that. Oh, Muscle Shoals, that's right. Muscle Shoals.
I heard they got the Swampers.
So I feel good about that. You know, obviously, we've talked about it so many times. Like, it's so early for these players. These commitments, at the end of the day, don't really mean much. There's going to be a lot of other schools that contact them. There's going to be a lot of other agents and things in their ear, NIL, this, that, and the other. So, you know, with so much time, I'm not going to put a ton of stock into these commitments yet. But I do think this guy is a good player. He's rated as a four-star prospect, 6'3", 262. But we talked about it last week, so let's get into the guys this week. Alvin was named as a finalist for two other four-star prospects in the 2026 class, wideout Samorian Wingo and linebacker Braden Rouse. I got the chance to talk to Braden Rouse about a month ago now, right after he locked in his visit for May 30th. And he was pretty open about what he thinks about Kane Womack's system. He said, "What excites me most about the Bama defense is they don't limit their linebackers to one job of being box, edge, or a cover guy. They give the linebackers a variety of different tools for different positions on the field. You're not limited to one single thing." And, I mean, I think we saw a lot of that last year. That's why, you know, we thought so many teams were going to be extremely high on Jahad Campbell this year, because of that versatility that he was able to play with in this system. But Rouse is a guy, he's from Marietta, Georgia, 6'2", 210, 2024. He did absolutely everything for Cal High School. He took snaps at linebacker, safety, edge rusher, wide receiver, tight end, finished the year with 111 tackles, 3.5 sacks, and a pick, and then on the offensive end had 400 yards and 8 touchdowns. So, you know, talk about versatility. Like, you look it up in the dictionary, it's a picture of Braden Rouse.
We like that.
Yeah, so he named Alabama in his top six schools. And then the other guy, wideout Samorian Wingo, 6'2", 180, so another kind of bigger body target that seems to be just, is this just what Alabama is going after now? Are we moving past the 5'10" gadget guy that, you know, you can, whatever, maybe we're just...
Kalen DeBoer looked at Nick Saban's rosters over the last 5 years and thought, we ain't doing that.
Yeah, it appears that we just have a new philosophy when targeting wide receivers. So Samorian Wingo, 6'2", 180, like I said, from St. Augustine, Florida. He named Alabama in his top five, including Florida, Miami, South Carolina, and LSU. South Carolina, interesting choice there. Kind of feels like that meme of all the Army guys standing there and then the one clown. It's like, you know, one of these is not like the other. 71 receptions for 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns last season. So, you know, seems by all accounts to be a pretty excellent player. Florida, we all know about high school football in Florida, especially South Florida. Very, very competitive there. I think he helped his team to like 11-2 record. They went to the state semifinals. So, you know, good little player. Set to visit Tuscaloosa in June 13th. He will be here.
All right, I have a question for you, Mason.
Yeah.
You have been covering recruiting for us at BamaCentral.com for almost a year now. We're getting close. Maybe my calendar's off base.
It'll be a year, I think, in October. So we're getting there.
You've been covering recruiting. You just mentioned this player's whittled it down to his top six. For your perspective, we see players all the time. This is my top 10. This is my top 20. This is my top 5, my top 3. Where's the threshold to where Mason Wood starts to take the prospect and these are my top X schools seriously?
5 or 6 feels like, you know, usually that feels like a decent list to where it's like, okay, there's probably some real...
My top 8 here.
Yeah, there's probably some real smoke here if it's 6 or less, I would say. I think our friend Rouse was his top 6 and Wingo was his top 5. Now, in all honesty, 5 feels really like I'd probably where I'd do the cutoff for most players, but I do really like Braden Rouse as a prospect, so just selfishly had to include him. But yeah, no, I'm not. I don't care about a top 20. I don't care about a top 10, top 12, top 15, top 40. I've seen, like, I do not. It's ridiculous. I don't care about when they do, here's just the list of offers I have. I'm like, what does that information do for me? It's nothing. It's just a graphic with a bunch of logos on it. Cool, buddy.
Like, every logo and the mother. Yeah,
that's awesome. How many of those are legitimate offers where if you called that school up right now and said, I'm coming, they got a spot for you? Because that's what I want to know. Seems like a lot of times it's just, I got a call from this school. Put them on the graphic. Which is fine, whatever. But no, I do not. We ain't caring about top 10s. We ain't caring about top 8s. Give me a top 5 or less, and then we'll start thinking there's maybe a little bit of smoke there.
All right, we got it. But the other concept of this is, when you're dealing with this, how many of those daggum logos are real? This is my top 5, but I'm only really talking to one. You see Alabama a lot of the times like, I picked Texas over Alabama and Ohio State. It's like we're Alabama and Ohio State. I'm not saying that Texas is recruiting bad players, sure. But like we're picked so-and-so school over Alabama.
Alabama and Ohio State, we're out on that player. Yeah, you do. I think a lot of times you see these big-name brands, your Bamas, your Ohio States, your Georgias, just get tossed in as like, hey, it looks really cool on the graphic that I turned them down. When in reality, there maybe wasn't a spot for you.
I went to a summer camp at Clemson, and Dabo shook my hand. So here they're on the graphic.
Oh yes, I do have one more little bit of recruiting
keep
news.
Going,
now this one, I'm very very excited about. This is a player who I think Alabama has been targeting very heavily for the last couple, I would say month or so, maybe a little longer. He was at A-Day on April 12th. Somebody I had added to my list of players I really wanted to like try to meet face-to-face, was not able to at A-Day. So, but Tyson Bacon, a now former Tennessee commit Tyson Bacon, decommitted from the Volunteers this week, goes on social media. Let me pull it up. I know he released a little quick statement.
He said, Josh Heupel didn't pay Nico Iamaleava the money, so I am not going either.
I think that's,
I stand
that was the
with
gist
Nico.
Of it.
Hashtag, we stand
off,
with Nico.
First off, I want to thank Coach Heupel, all these lists, about 5 coaches here. I want to thank Tennessee for making my commitment. After careful consideration, I want to open back up my recruiting. I want to make sure I am making the best decision for my future. I would say it's a good call, young man. You maybe don't want to get involved with whatever Tennessee has going on with all of this media storm over the last month with the Nico Iamaleava saga. Who knows what's going to be going on at Tennessee moving forward? I would imagine the NIL boosters and things like that will be maybe holding their money a little tighter moving forward up in Knoxville. So, he announces his decommitment. This is the player I was getting him confused. This guy's from Hoover, Alabama. So a pretty local prospect, like I said, was in at Tuscaloosa for a day on April 12th. He has another visit lined up for May 30th. He had been committed to Tennessee since October of last year, 6'3", 240. Like I said, we're not going to know for a long time what this player is going to be doing. Seems to be, though, I would, I've seen the kind of rumors, seen a little bit of smoke that maybe Alabama is at least on the radar for him, and he is certainly on the radar for Alabama. Alabama has 5 commitments right now in the 2026 class, like I said earlier. I think 2 of them are edge rushers, but they don't have any really true like interior defensive linemen. And, like I said, at 6'3", 260, I think Bacon could maybe be that guy. Pack a little bit, a few more LBs on him. Maybe he hits a little bit of a growth spurt in his senior year, gets another inch or two. This guy could be, a very solid player. There's a reason that he is as highly touted as he is in the class. But that is that's all the recruiting news. We'll move into a little bit of transfer portal news. Like I said, there has been some movement. Finally, we've got the white smoke now. The Pope has been elected. And we have finally selected our target in the transfer portal. And it's 2 of them. 2 of the exact same players. Alabama added 2 clones to the roster this week. Jack Sammarco and Brody Dalton, 2 tight ends, both of them. Right at 6'5", right at 250, we give or take 10 pounds, give or take a half inch or so probably. Jack Sammarco, 1 catch in 2024. Chef's kiss. Perfect. Welcome aboard. Brody Dalton, 15 catches, 3 touchdowns last year. Welcome aboard, buddy. Get to the line of scrimmage and get to do some blocking.
We didn't even mention the Troy tight end today on my show. Great.
Yeah. We've talked about them prior to their commitments. We talked about Jack Sammarco a little bit on Joe's show yesterday. I don't think either of these guys are going to provide much in the terms of statistics. What they will do will not be in the stat book, but I think both of them could play very crucial roles. I was a little confused to see that both of them wound up here. I'm guessing that the coaching staff feels they need two players to replace Robbie Oots.
More.
It's fine with me. Hey, I feel confident that the two of these guys can get that job done. I welcome both of these tight ends with open arms.
More blocking.
Yeah. I'm still, you know, wondering what's going to happen with our friend from Hillcrest here, and now I'm blanking on his name.
Jaden Hobson. He's just going to have to get better.
He's just going to have to get better, I guess. Competition.
Iron sharpens iron.
There we go.
Get sharp, Jaden Hobson.
But yeah, so, you know, you get your two transfer portal additions. I think us and some Alabama fans maybe expected the team to potentially target a linebacker, potentially target some offensive line depth, but feels like the coaching staff is evidently comfortable with what they have at both of those positions because the portal does close today. I don't see anything else happening, really.
You saw what – you probably haven't yet since we've been recording, but Mike Rodak tweeted about the portal being closing today. All right, let me just read it. I don't want to paraphrase him. Today is the final day of the spring football transfer portal window. No Alabama scholarship player has entered at this point. And the quotes are, delete this, delete this, delete this.
Mass exodus on the final day. Oh, they've all been plotting against DeBoer. The whole team's hitting the portal. No, Alabama, like Joe just said, zero scholarship players have entered the transfer portal. And I am still just as shocked today as I have been throughout this entire 10-day period. I do think, you know, on your show yesterday, the Joe Gaither Show, go subscribe, go listen to our episode with Katie Windham. I think she made a great point about the uncertainty kind of surrounding the transfer portal and just everything related to it, NIL, all these new roster changes and everything happening. It does seem like there's a lot of gray area. So I can see why maybe that is playing a role in some of these players being reluctant to get into the portal. But I also look around the country. I'm not seeing this anywhere else.
I mean, Georgia's lost players. Nitro Tuggle comes to mind.
Auburn's lost a lot of players. Oklahoma's losing players. Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU, all of these SEC schools losing players.
I think Katie's point was really strong about the uncertainty, but still.
But I think also the coaching staff has really done a great job in connecting with these players and forming good personal relationships with them and making them want to be a part of what they're building here rather than just, I'm going to suck it up for my 3 years so I can get to the NFL, which is maybe what it felt like for the last couple years of the Saban era.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, spring portal closes today, so I don't expect to see any more moves. I would think that at this point, anybody you want is probably already somewhere else. So don't expect really anything big, at least in my opinion, on the final day here, unless Mike Rodak did unfortunately jinx us and we're about to see a giant swath of players enter.
No, someone's right?
I don't think so. I don't think at this point we're losing anybody. Before we close it down today, I do want to provide a little bit of a quick update to baseball and softball. I try to mostly stay away from these because I honestly feel like I'm doing more harm than I am good when I talk about diamond sports. But I'm going to steal from our colleagues who do know what they're talking about. Katie Windham and Will Miller both wrote on Bama Central this week about the standing of Alabama softball and baseball and, you know, kind of their potential of hosting a regional this year. I think softball, as Katie said, currently needs to win, ideally get the sweep against Missouri if it hopes to stay alive for a chance to host. They're currently 11th in the league, 15th in the nation, which just shows you how deep the SEC is. Just a ridiculously strong league, you know. So while the record may not look exactly dominant, Alabama is still very much in position to earn a bid to host a regional in softball. Baseball, you got your work cut out for you. You've lost three series in a row: LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn. According to our friend Will Miller, it looks as if Alabama will likely need to win each of its last four series against Missouri, Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Florida, as well as a midweek game against Troy, who I think he said is ranked 20th in his article on Bama Central. Go read it. So it's not looking great for Alabama baseball to maybe get the bid to host a regional. They're currently 10th in the SEC, 18th in the nation, which, again, shows you how deep the league is. It goes both ways here. But, yeah, going to be a tough stretch. Alabama softball takes on Missouri tonight, first game of the series at 6 o'clock in the Rhodes House. Alabama baseball did get the first win of the series last night against Missouri, so hopefully they can ride that hot streak tonight. They play at 6 over at Sewell Thomas Stadium. They will Get in there and check it out. Still, I don't feel great. You know, maybe we'll try to get Will on the show next week or something to talk about it and give us some more insight onto why or where they stand. But from everything I read from him this week, it does not look like they have an easy path to get there.
No.
But that's all I've got for today. Unless you have anything else for us, Joe.
Wait, I did have one thing.
Sure.
Wait, what did I just have it and lose it? Nah. Maybe I don't have it.
No worries. That's all I've got. I want to thank everybody for listening. Remind you all to follow me and Joe on Twitter at @MAWoods_@JoeGaither6. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week to break down the rest of the NFL draft, talk more Crimson Tide news, and really get into the offseason here on the All Things Bama Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.